September 1st, we have no Brock, we have no Grandview, but we have a rivalry in East Texas taken to the next level. We have a bunch of rematches, and we have style versus style. It's time to talk a little 3A right here on the L4FR Clothing 3A edition of Sideline to Sideline. On the LSG Sports Network, I'm Terry Bennett. That's Grant Goodwin, and holy crap, what a round of football last weekend.
Yeah, man, some major stunners, right?
Woo!
Set up some great games, man, some great region finals this week. I don't see any region finals that are snoozers in 3A, D1, or D2.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things sometimes, and it's funny because you and I were talking about this in regards to other sports and like NCAA basketball where – you know, you always like the underdogs to win until the next round because usually they end up getting beat. Yeah. But this week, I mean, the teams that were quote-unquote underdogs, they might be favorites going into this round. It's going to be a crazy one. Hello, everybody. Again, I'm Terry Bennett. That's Grant Goodwin. This is Sideline to Sideline, the 3A edition, brought to you by L4FR Clothing. You can find them online at l4frclothing.com. And we have hit the region finals, and oh, my goodness, what a slate we have. As always, we're going to be picking every game, and then we'll have Coach X. Coach X is actually going to give a write-up for every game. We'll talk a little bit about the games back, but starting next week, when we get to the region final or the semifinal, the state semifinals, we'll kind of do a little bit of a look back. Today, it'll just kind of be in passing. But overall, though, just an absolute wonderful weekend of 3A football.
Yeah, basically halfway through the playoffs now, right?
Yes, we are halfway. So, three more weeks.
I think we, for the most part, we've got what we wanted in the final eight in each division, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because you had proudly said a couple weeks ago that, you know, one of the things we were looking forward to is a Grandview Brock region or a semifinal.
Right.
And we were. But yeah, that doesn't mean what's left is not going to be a great semifinal next week.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on, I mean, no matter who wins out of the four of Region 1 and 3, a Region 2 and 3A Division 1, whether it be Pilot Point or Jim Ned and Mount Vernon or Malakoff, man, you've just got absolutely a great state semifinal. I do think, though, it not being Grandview and Brock is good for one thing, is I think now we don't necessarily feel that the state championship game will be played in the semifinals.
Yeah, maybe not.
I got you on that one.
Well, no, I mean, you know, it's man, Malakoff sure is looking tough, dude.
Oh, yes, they are. But, I mean, again, though, I mean, if they play Pilot Point or Jim Ned,
yeah, right,
I don't necessarily feel – or Mount Vernon. If Mount Vernon wins, I don't necessarily feel that, oh, well, that's who's winning state.
Right.
I think it does open up Region 3 and Region 4 possibly for being a team that could make a case at state. I want to thank our title sponsor, as always, L4FR Clothing. You can find them online at l4frclothing.com. For all your fire-resistant needs, they've got it everything, and we keep saying it each and every week. They have pullovers, they have work shirts, they have jeans, they have heavy-duty sweatshirts now as it's starting to get colder. Grant can tell you a little bit about that last week. They have all you need for fire-resistant clothing. Not only are they affordable, not only do they keep you safe, but you also look good doing it. Again, you can check them out online at L4FR Clothing. You can find them on Twitter at L4FR Clothing or on Facebook. Just type in L4FR Clothing.
Yeah, last week you said keeping us warm, man. Yeah, I went to the doubleheader in Canyon at Kimbrough Stadium, Canadian and, goodness gracious, Idaloo, and then Childress and Spearman. And during the day at Kimbrough on Friday, the wind was so blustery. It was so cold, man, and that L4FR hoodie did come in really nice and cut the wind, and then it did its job as well on Saturday night because it started sleeting right around the start of the third quarter of the Childress Spearman game, and I am sure glad I had that thing on then.
You got to love Texas, where 2 weeks ago we were sitting in East Texas and it's so humid we were comparing it to Newton in August, and now we're sitting where it's sleeting and snowing and stuff. That's
right.
That's one thing you got to love about the state of Texas and the weather. Want to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to jump right into it. 3A Division 1 Region Finals right here on Sideline to Sideline, the 3A edition, brought to you by L4FR Clothing on the LSG Sports Network.
Our last game, Friday Night Legends, was a big hit. And now you can play the greatest college football teams of all time against each other. Before now, if you wanted to see the 2019 LSU Tigers play the 2001 Miami Hurricanes squad, you were stuck with only your imagination. Not anymore. This new game allows you to play those dream matchups. 1945 Army Black Knights, considered by many to be the greatest team in the history of college football. 2014 Ohio State Buckeyes, featuring Ezekiel Elliott, head coach Urban Meyer, and offensive coordinator Tom Herman. 2005 Texas Longhorns, knocked off number one ranked USC for their fourth national championship, and so many more. Saturday Legends is that game. What are you waiting for? Get in the game. Saturday Legends.
Get your copy at www.saturdaylegends.com.
Welcome back to the 3A State Quarterfinal Show, brought to you by L4FRClothing.com. I want to remind everybody, you can follow us on Twitter at Grant and Terry. You can email us with any questions or concerns, grantandterry@lonestargridiron.com.
Not bad.
Thank you. Thank you.
You can also follow us on Twitter at Grant and Terry. You can call our fan feedback line 713-568-6361. I know. I'm just doing it all as a point.
You can follow us on Twitter at Grant and Terry. It's at twitter.com, TWITTER.com.
Also, we got an email. It's from a 4A fan, but we wanted to give a shout out to him in both shows. Well, the email says Sam and Mary, but we're just going to go, hey, Sam. If it's Mary, hey, we're fine with that, too. But gave us a very good kind of a scouting report on Carthage and how they've played the last few weeks. We're actually going to use it in the 4A report. And that's why we always give it our email, is that's how we do this show. Everybody always asks, you know, how are y'all all over the place, because y'all have good information and y'all make good picks. We rely on not only coaches, not only broadcast groups like Lano. They help us out with giving us information, but from just simple fans. We've had fans that have emailed us now for almost the whole entirety of the show, but for sure in the last 8 years, we get stats from certain teams, and that's how we sometimes know about certain teams a lot more than other teams. It's simply the information that we're able to find. And so if you want to email us information about your team, it might take a while before we immediately read your stuff, because we kind of have to have a little trust session, because we've gotten some that, you know, we get some.
Dude, I get right in the van. You show the candy, I'm in the van.
That's why Grant's always trying to tell me, I promise you, this year Alba Golden's going 14-1. But no, I mean, so start sending us stuff, and once we vet it and feel like you make good points and give good information, we'll start using it here on the show. All right.
And then we trust Coach X's picks. So, well, do we really vet things?
We trust Coach X is going to be last. Speaking of, thank you for the reminder, as we have our stats up to through week three of the playoffs. Coach X is still last. He's not doing bad. We give him a hard time. But as I said in Twitter and on Facebook, you know, we're a combined, all three of us, 591 right picks, 81 wrong picks. That's not bad at all.
No.
I lead right now 202-22, Grant's 196-28, and then Coach X is 193-31. Technically, you and him would be tied if he could pick Gunner. But he can't, so you have a three-game lead over him so far. So that's the real good thing, is, you know, no matter what we pick, he's going to at least get one wrong.
It's going to be one in the hole every time.
But let's go ahead and jump
in. Is he this week?
I don't know. Dang it, you took my thing. Let's jump into 3A Division I. We're going to start out at Region I, where one of the big upsets happened last week, as Jim Ned beats Brock 19-16, and was just an absolutely great game. Both teams going back and forth. You look at the stats, and Brock wins the game. I mean, everything they did, they normally do. Mm-hmm. But, man, what Jim Ned did, and it's what we've talked about ever since seeing them against Wall, is they don't do anything splashy, but, man, they make the plays. When they needed to make a third and four stop, they made a third and four stop just continually over and over.
Yeah.
Their offense didn't gain much yards, but they gained every important yard. That last drive to set up the field goal, they're converting third downs and they're converting fourth downs. And every time it looks like, oh, this play's over, they would find a way to get the yards. Just a great win for the Indians.
Yeah, you know, one thing I took away from that Jim Ned Wall game was Jim Ned's not afraid to get dirty in the trenches. I mean, they'll get dirty. They grind you down, right? I was a little shocked that Xavier Wishart didn't have more yardage. Brock did a good job on him. But you saw this game. I was actually, at that time, I guess, watching that Childress-Spearman
yeah.
game. Did Jim Ned just milk the clock, just take it down
they
to
took
under 10 seconds?
Every snap was under 10 seconds if the clock was rolling. You know, Coach Worrell and what you had talked about and I had talked about was that their defense, Jim Ned's defense, doesn't go out and just dominate.
Mm-hmm.
They go out and they play sound, disciplined football, and they shoot those gaps so well.
Yeah.
And they did that so many times. And that the guy, the you know, they would pick a guy who's shooting the gap. And he wouldn't – half the time, he really wouldn't even make a play. They had a bunch of tackles for losses, don't get me long,
uh-huh.
wrong. But what they did, more importantly, was is they disrupted that blocking scheme.
Yeah.
And for Brock, they're not a team that just – blocks straight ahead zone blocking. They pull, they trap. They do a lot of special things, and if you can find a way to get them off that rhythm and you know, offensive linemen blocking like that, it's like watching a ballet. All parts are moving, and they got to be moving in time with each other, and Jim Ned just did such a wonderful job of disrupting that even though Brock had a good day yardage-wise, it just never felt like they could get going.
Yeah.
And like I said, every time that there was an important third down, it seemed like Jim Ned made the play. Just again, a great game. They take on Pilot Point. By the way, this game's Thursday, Stephenville's Tarleton Memorial Stadium at 7 p.m. Pilot Point, they did the exact opposite. They got up early on Bushland, forced Bushland to be one style and throwing the ball, and they had five interceptions against Bushland, and Pilot Point just ground the Falcons down.
Yeah, we talked about that Jim Ned defense and how they play sound gap control. Pilot Point is a little bit more diverse than what Brock was. Again, going back to Max Holler, a quarterback for Pilot Point, you know, he ran for 150 yards last week, and Ish Harris ran for, what, 230, something
yeah,
like that. And then, you know, Holler can beat you through the air as well. So, you know, this Jim Ned defense is going to be stretched out a little bit thinner this week. Who do you got in this one?
Well, I also want to point out that Ish Harris also had two interceptions defensively. He is our – we started crushing on him, and he's one of our favorite players, and he's a junior. He'll be back next year. You know, the part of me looks at what Brock did to Pilot Point,
mm-hmm.
And Brock had their way with Pilot Point about 4 weeks ago. Makes me think, okay, well, Jim Ned beat Brock, you know, the
yeah,
ergo,
right.
but –
That doesn't always work that way.
It doesn't always work that way, and I don't think it works that way now because – and this is not a knock on Brock's passing game, because Brock's passing game was actually really good this year. But Brock's passing game works whenever – when it works, it's because they're passing when they want to,
yeah,
not when they have to.
Right.
I think Pilot Point can pass when they have to, and I think they can be a little bit more consistent in it. You've got Jay Cox, who is an outstanding wide receiver. Aiden Cox is another really good wide receiver. I just feel like I think Pilot Point, and I think Coach X actually touches on this in his humorous way, I think Pilot Point dodged a bullet. I think Jim Ned took care of what was going to be the big roadblock in the region for Pilot Point. I think Pilot Point wins this game.
Look, I go back to this. Jim Ned has played solid defensively all year long. They only give up about 13.5 points a game.
Yep.
On average, and then still, I am still in love with Xavier Wishart, the running back.
Oh, he is such a stud,
and,
man.
Yeah, and Tate Yardley at quarterback. I'm taking that defense of Jim Ned and Xavier Wishart running behind that really good offensive line. I think this is a darn close game, but I'm taking the Indians of Tuscola, Jim Ned.
I have no problem with that pick. That's the one great thing about how these playoffs have formed. I don't think there's a bad pick in the semifinal or in the region finals this year. This is every team has
yeah,
a chance.
It's not like it's Pleasant Grove and Caddo picking Caddo or something. You know, there's nothing that stupid.
I can't wait to talk about
that. All right, so I got Jim Ned. You got Pilot Point. What does X say?
All right, so we told Coach X to pick every game, and apparently he felt that he needed to write a book for every game. So 45 minutes of the show is just going to be Coach X. I guess that's a good thing. Here we go. Dude, Pilot Point, how much do you like Jim Ned right now? Because I know you always say we want another shot at Brock. We'll see them again in round four. But now you can just focus on football and not the rivalry and getting over the Brock monster. You just get to play football and do it well. You've been – do it well, comma. You've been doing – what? and do it well, oh, like you've been doing. Jim Ned, you were like the guy at the party that everybody is picking on. Like, oh, dude, here comes Brock, and he knows you kissed his girlfriend. Brock is going to whip you. Don't even show up. And then Brock shows up and is like, what's up, dude? You kissing on Melissa? And Jim is all like, hell yeah, I was. And then while Brock is looking around and the party is closing in and he knows, dang, I got to do something here, you just hit Brock right in the mouth. Remember when Chris Brockman used to say that that's why they play the game? Case in point there, I'm going with Jim Ned. That's a good pick there, Coach.
Yeah.
All right, great. So you and him are going. Second and last is going with Jim Ned. First place is going with Pilot Point. Just wanted to point that out. All right, let's go to our Region 2 one. And, man, it feels like every time I'm going to say this is a tasty matchup. Mount Vernon outlasts district brethren Mineola in a defensive slugfest. I watched
just like the last one.
Yes,
right?
I had multiple games up. When I'm at home watching these games on playoffs, I have my show laptop and my production laptop with games, and then I have one on the TV, and sometimes I also have one on the tablet. And I was watching that Mount Vernon game, and my goodness, the defense that the defensive issues we saw against Gladewater was completely gone in this game. Mount Vernon, I will point out that Mineola's star wide receiver was really banged up. And I think that, of course, hurt them. But, man, all the credit to Mount Vernon's defense, winning 12-7.
Yeah, you know, and you go back, hey, that Mount Vernon defense, they're not giving up much more than 3 touchdowns a game on average. I think somewhere around 20 points. So you kind of see that coming, right?
Yeah, you could, but I had picked Mineola. It was one of the very few misses I had last week. I just want to point out first place. But, man, just it looked like Mount Vernon knew what was coming, and Mineola never could adjust off that.
Yeah, and then, you know, offensive side of the ball, Brock Naylor just does what he does at quarterback, right? He just, I mean, how do you stop that guy?
Well, you know, that's the thing. I will say this. They did get stopped. Mineola didn't have their way, but they kind of did. And that kind of took me back a little bit because the first time they met, it was a low-scoring game, too. I think It was 24-20. But, I mean, you know, this is one of those games where I don't think if you're Mount Vernon's offense, you don't feel like you just – you're good to go.
You know, did he have time to connect with, say, Nick Lacey? How, you know, that Neller to Lacey deep ball is about the best combo you'll see in 3A.
And Mineola is one of the few teams that can line up across them and play a few just you got to beat me. And they did do that well. It was an absolute great game.
Well, they're going to be up against a defense that's like that now because Malakoff can absolutely match up with you, especially one-on-one, right? You know, they're only giving up about 11 points a game defensively. They got size, they've got quickness and speed in the trenches. Things are going to speed up a little bit for this Mount Vernon team when it comes to that Malakoff defense.
Let's talk about Malakoff because as big of a win as Mount Vernon was over Mineola and as big as a win as Jim Ned was over Brock, I think this Malakoff win, you want to talk about just getting the monkey off of Malakoff's back, fifth time they've played in the last few years, mm-hmm. and they were 0-4. They picked one of the best times, Juan Gonzalez with the 33-yard field goal, sophomore Juan Gonzalez with 9 seconds left, just an absolute thriller. Man, this just goes, first off, tip your hat to two-time state champion Grandview.
Yeah.
As many games as they've had to play over the last 3 years, and even in 4 years, because they started the run that first year, and they didn't make the state championship, but just how many games they played, and I think eventually that just caught up to them. But for Malakoff, wow, I mean – now, do you worry that the whole monkey off the back thing, there's a lot of let up? Is that a concern for you if you're picking this game?
I don't think there's let up at all, but it's hard not to, you know, come in. I mean, I guess it's hard to get that up, right?
Yes.
Twice, I guess.
Yes.
But I think Malakoff is just too good of a football team to let that happen. I mean, you got to remember Deuce Hart and Keevy Rose. That's a 1-2 punch at running back that nobody's really figured out
got
yet.
Athletic quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, Darian Peace.
Malakoff is stretched. By the way, this game is 7 p.m. Friday at Mesquite Hamby Stadium, a great stadium for the game. All right, what do you feel? How do you feel?
Give me Malakoff by 10 to 14 points. I think this could be a great game, but I think Malakoff is on a mission right now.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think if – I don't know. I think I'm a little concerned by the offense of Mount Vernon. And again, though, let's remember, it's Art Briles. So, mm-hmm. I mean, he has coached in the biggest some of the biggest college games. And so we'll see if he has any adjustments.
He kind of went into that Mount Vernon Gladewater by-district game a little, like, weary of them offensively.
Well, yeah,
Look what they did.
So. We picked Gladewater. Yeah. Hey, that was one of the picks. We picked Gladewater to win the region, or at least make it to the region
final.
Mount
Vernon's making it hard to pick against them.
Yeah, they really are. All right, let's see what Coach X has to say. Well, if you listened to last week's show, you know where I am leaning here, since I said the state game was in Region 2 in Round 3, Kauf versus Grandview. But Kauf, you're going to have to bring it because a Art Briles coach team doesn't like to be told no.
Wow.
No, you can't win. No, you can't beat the Kauf. Hey, has Malakoff cashed in on the Kauf references with COVID? Jeez, he's just falling apart in this. Mm-hmm. After that pilot point Jim Nedwin being so good, we should have known the second one was going to be bad.
Full of dingers tonight, didn't
like, he? Hey, are we going to have to give you the Kauf, or it's not the vid you have to worry about, it's the Kauf. Actually, I like that one. I'm going with the Kauf to beat the Tigers. And if you got the other reference, we apologize. We can't help it. All right, let's go. Oh, by the way, did you see where the founder, and I don't know if you knew about in Longview, but the founder of Papacitas died?
Oh, no.
Papacitas was a not the one that's in Dallas. It was a local place in Longview that was really, really good Mexican food back in the 80s. Not quite as good as, the buffet one, but...
Poncho's?
Yeah, it was actually technically better than Poncho's. But, hey, Poncho's, you always got to raise the flag. You got a taco. What can you say? All right, let's go to Region 3 Championship. And once again, it's a rematch. You're going to hear rematches pretty much for here on out. And we picked a lot of these rematches. Columbus 11-2 versus Hallettsville 11-2. This game is Friday, 7 p.m. at Bastrop Memorial Stadium. Man, first off, Columbus versus Yoakum. Boy, we thought Yoakum had gotten right with Ball after those two losses, and they had. Columbus basically beat them just as bad, if not worse, than they did in the first game.
Yeah, Jordan Woods had a big game, right?
Yes, sir.
Keon Hurd, Ty Thomas, a quarterback. They just all carried their weight. But I'll tell you what, they're going up against a Hallettsville team. Jonathan Brooks. Did you see what Jonathan Brooks did last week? 501 yards, 9 touchdowns on 27 carries against Lorena last week.
In a game that he needed at least 450 of those yards. Lorena hung with them for a long time in that shootout.
Yeah.
It's really weird when you see a shootout that's between two run-based teams. Yeah, and you know, Hallettsville, the first time these two teams played, it was a bad matchup for Columbus. And I still think that is a problem now.
I do. I think Columbus will keep it closer, and I think they'll have a chance. But I'm still going Hallettsville in a 10-point game.
Last time they played, it was 45-14 Hallettsville. Man, I have been on Columbus since the first week of the first.
Well, we caught them region champions.
Yeah, I mean,
before the season even started. So
yeah,
they're here.
It's just such a bad matchup. I mean, Jonathan Brooks is a bad matchup for anybody. And by the way the playoffs have broke, Jonathan Brooks is good enough that he could be a Jordan Whittington for Cuero and literally carry Hallettsville all the way to the crown.
Yeah,
I mean that's how good this kid is, folks. But I'm going to go with what I've been all year. I'm going to go with Columbus.
Are you?
I said the very first preview show that we did, I felt Columbus was going to win the region, and I'm going to stick with what I said. But honestly, this is a heart going with Columbus, mind going with Hallettsville type of thing. All right, let's see what Coach X has to say. Hey, The Grove, I got you here. Terry is going to say I had nothing to do with it, but I did, and you know it. I know, and I think deep down Terry knows it too. But, man, did y'all see what that dude from Hallettsville did to whoever they played last week? 500 yards and 9 touchdowns. That's not a bad day at the office there. 500 yards, like for real. I bet that if you added up all my rushing years and rushing yards in 4 years of football, it doesn't equal 500. And that dude did it in one game. Sorry, Grove. Got to go with Hallettsville. But you know, but you and me know why I'm going that way. All right. So.
All right.
You and Coach go them. I'm sticking with Columbus.
All right. How about Region 4 final? Llano versus Laga Vista, a game that we'll be at. This is Friday, 7 o'clock at Bible Stadium in Leander. Bible, a very nice place.
Yes,
we've been there
is.
Once.
Yes, so. It is. Llano's 12-0. Laga Vista's 9-3 on the year.
They played this game, about a month or so ago, and Llano won the first matchup 44-27.
Almost a month and a half ago now.
A month and a half ago. I'll tell you what. You got a good look at Llano last week. And you had mentioned how quick their defense is, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that, you know, I'll admit, I didn't know a ton about Jordanton going into the game, and so
I'm they had a really good quarterback in the Endis kid, right?
They have a good quarterback, and they had an offense that had scored points. And against Llano, it just seemed like either Llano was really, really quick, or Llano had their playbook. Because you know how sometimes you just watch a game.
That's what a quick fast defense will do, right?
It feels like there's 13 players on the field. That's exactly what Llano would do. And every time Jordanton would get some kind of steep motion going forward, go back to Jim Ned. They would Llano a couple times where it looked like Jordanton was about to get a drive going. It'd be a third and three, and you're thinking, okay, Jordan's got this, and Llano would stop him. And it just time and time again, and the Yellow Jacket offense was it struggled a little bit, but it was consistent. But, man, that defense. And, I mean, this is a defense that we probably should have been talking a little bit more about.
About 14 points
a
game.
And when you look at
– offensively, Kuykendall, that quarterback, he kind of overshadows
the
defense, right?
But, dude, they've gotten two legit shutouts. They had the one shutout for a COVID. But they shut out Ballinger. And how many times did we talk about Ballinger all year long playing a very tough schedule, A, and either winning or giving teams of good ilk really close battles?
Right.
And they shut them out 34-0. You went and saw them when they played Comfort. And it was funny because you go there to see Comfort. You walk away, it's all about Llano. Then – what they did with Blanco, and it wasn't that they beat Blanco, but they doubled Blanco 42-26. Again, another team that has just quietly gotten hot and hotter and hotter, and now they're playing their best football. And, and when you're playing your best football and you're sitting in the region final, that tells me a lot about you. And Laga Vista's a great season. The Vikings are tough, but I just don't think they match up well at all. I kind of think we'll see maybe not a 44-27, but not far from that. I think it's a 14-point game.
Well, you know, Laga Vista's got a really good quarterback, Adrian Hernandez, which is hard. You know, he's just hard to handle. So, you know, it's not like this Llano defense is going to stroll in there and just shut Laga Vista out, because I think Hernandez is good enough at quarterback, Lane Powers at running back for Laga Vista, to score some points and move the football. But I just don't think they're going to be able to keep up. Look, that Llano defense is too good to let Laga Vista score over three or four touchdowns, and I just don't think Laga Vista is going to be able to handle Quincy Prince, Jared Beasley, and Case Kuykendall. I just think that's going to be too much. So I've got Llano. I think it's – I'm like you. I think it's a little bit closer than 44-27, but it's somewhere still in the same neighborhood.
Yeah, I think it falls somewhere
really
in the same
looking forward to seeing this game, though.
All right, let's see what Coach X has to say. Oh, great. He's got two pages on this one. Flat versus Lakeview. I can see why Llano decided on Llano instead of the English version of the word. Llano sounds a lot cooler than flat. Like that girl is flat. Nobody wants to talk to her. Oh, hey, man, I know this girl, and she's really Llano.
Wow.
If you didn't know Spanish, you'd be like, hell yeah, let's see her. And you would probably be like, dang, but maybe she has a good personality or awesome legs or something. And you'd be like, man, I'm glad I said yes to this. I'm riding with the Yellow Jackets in this one. Wow. All right, so you have, if I remember correctly, you have the state semifinals being Jim Ned versus Malakoff,
right,
and Hallettsville versus Llano.
Yes.
Coach X has Jim Ned versus Malakoff and Hallettsville versus Llano. I have it Pilot Point versus Malakoff and Columbus versus Llano.
All right.
So we have our 3A Division 1 set. You know what that means? That means we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to do it all again, 3A Division 2, right here on Sideline to Sideline, the 3A edition, brought to you by L4FR Clothing. Are you looking for a podcast network that talks Texas by Texans? Well, check us out. You're already listening to us, but go to the website, LoneStarPodcast.com. You can also find us on every big podcast platform, LSPN. We have shows in business, entertainment, marketing, music, of course, sports. We have some of the best sports podcasts in the state of Texas, ranging from high school football all the way up to pro basketball. So check us out online, LoneStarPodcast.com. That's the LSPN on every major podcast platform. Terry Bennett, Grant Goodwin back here, Sideline to Sideline, the 3A edition, brought to you by L4FR Clothing, right here on the LSG Sports Network and the Lone Star Podcast Network. You can check that out at LoneStarPodcast.com. As we did Division 1, so now let's do Division 2 here.
Hey,
at
you know, real quick,
yes,
what
sir?
We have, I don't think, mentioned this year, and I'm sure everybody knows, but we are in the 100th year of Texas high school football in the state of Texas from 1920 to 2020.
Don't you kind of wish, though, and I kind of – Dave Campbell's has done some really cool stuff on it. Each week they list some stuff. Ooh, I mentioned a competitor. They do cool things on, like, top 10 coaches, rivalry games and stuff. Mm-hmm. I just kind of wish we could have all paused this until next year because we didn't get – I think there would have been a lot of cool, like, on-field type things we might have seen throughout the state. The patches were cool. All the patches I've seen that the UIL gave. But, yeah, it's
stickers on the helmets.
Stickers on the helmets. The 100th year of high school football. And it's funny, we were joking right before we started that, you know, there for a long time back in the day, this would be the end of the road for all football.
Yeah.
It all ended at region championships, and you just – we're like, okay, we won the region. Let's go home. But at least, thankfully now, we actually get to find out who are the better teams in state. Let's go ahead and start 3A Division 2, and let's do it with Region 1. Again, a rematch. Childress 10-2 versus Canadian 12-1. This game is Friday, 7 p.m. at Canyon's Kimbrough Stadium. We know that stadium well. This is a rematch, and this is one of those rematches that I don't really see a lot changing.
No, but I was impressed you know, with Colin Bishop at quarterback last week against Spearman for Childress. I mean, just a tough runner. Got a really good freshman running back in Darian Mathis. And then that tight end linebacker, Avery Jalamo. I mean, very tough. Look, Canadian executes so well. Josh Colwell hitting Twister Kelton. Reagan Cochran, those two receivers, and then, you know, Hayes Huffstetler at running back. And I think that offense, that dynamic offense of Canadian overshadows that defense a little bit because that Canadian defense is tough.
Yeah, I agree. Look, here's the deal for Childress. I think Childress has a mental thing with Canadian. They're very open about that. Uh-huh. 2 years ago, they almost exercised that demon. It was 31-30. We were at that game. It was back and forth. But last year, it wasn't close. And then the first game this year, it wasn't close. It was 63-14 or 53-14. Let me look. 63-13, excuse me. I don't think it's going to be that bad, but I don't think it's going to be close.
Yeah.
I think part of it is this is just a bad matchup for Childress this year. Canadian, you know, we haven't got to talk about them much in district because, A, there was COVID issues and, you know, they didn't get to play Spearman. We talked about it when they played Childress and we said, hey, they're going to beat the doors off Childress, and they did.
Yeah.
I know teams have made those comebacks. You remember back in the day, Abilene Wiley got throttled by a couple teams in the regular season.
Yeah.
And then came back in the playoffs and throttled them, but I just don't see it here.
No, I don't either. I see Canadian winning pretty big again.
Yeah, I do too. And unfortunately for Childress, I think you're just going to have that albatross of Canadian around your neck. You're going to get him one day. As a Marshall fan whose biggest rival is Longview, who we're happy to get a win once every 15 years, and no, I'm not kidding about that. You're going to get a win eventually, just not this year. Coach X says, Air Canada, I have been told, that is the best team that they've ever had. I bet every other coach is happy to hear this. Like, eh, it's about, oh, God, he goes into Canadian talk. Like, eh, it's a boot time. Canada had a good team. Good for them. Oh, yeah, sure, you know. But at least they're polite about it. I picked the Bobcats last time, and it didn't happen. I learned my lessons. Go Wildcats. So we all have Canadian winning this matchup.
All right. So Canadian is your Region 1 champion, we guess.
Yes,
right?
And that they'll take on the winner of Eastland versus Gunter. Eastland's 10-3, Gunter's 12-1. This game is at a great place, Thursday, 7 p.m. at Arlington's Globe Life Park. And if you don't know, that's the former Rangers Stadium, Texas Rangers Baseball Stadium. They've converted it. Arlington now runs it as a high school stadium, and it works out pretty good.
Yeah.
Man, you want to talk about – this was the game in the intro when I said we have style versus style. And it's so funny. We were laughing about this, talking about Canadian and Gunter. But you have an Eastland team that's going to throw it all over the field with their Texas Tech signee, Baron Morton, versus –
who can also hurt you with his legs.
Yes, can also rumble for yards against Ethan Sloan, Gunter, and a team that's just going to run you to death, grind you down. But they do it with athleticism and speed.
Yeah.
This is a great matchup, dude.
It is. It's a fun one. This one, a lot to me, is a kind of a lot like the 4A matchup we're going to see on Saturday of Corpus Christi Miller and Austin LBJ. Look, Eastland rolls into this game averaging 49 points a game offensively, and Gunter averages just giving up 9 points a game defensively. So what, something's got to give, right?
Yes.
Quarterback Baron Morton, you're not going to stop him, right? I mean, you hope to slow him down some. And, you know, if you are slowing him down, well, then Brandon Fielding, the running back, has been rushing at a pretty good clip this year as well. Peyton McClain at receiver, a deadly wideout for Morton. I think Gunner defensively is up to the task, though. They're going to give up yards. They're going to give up some points. But can Eastland, who is giving up over 30 points a game defensively, can Eastland slow down, you know, Ethan Sloan, like you said, the running back Ashton Bennett, Cole Lemons at receiver. Hutt Graham leads this Gunner Tiger offense just perfectly. I like Gunner. I think Gunner has too much speed, actually, on the edges.
Yeah, I do too.
For Eastland to handle defensively. So give me Gunner in this one because I love that Gunner defense and that deceptive speed that we saw in the state championship game against Pewitt last year. Did we not?
Yes, we did.
Pewitt could not adjust to that
speed.
And
we were shocked because we thought Pewitt was going to be the faster team in that game.
Right.
You know, first off, I want to give credit to and shout out to Holiday because, you know, they beat Eastland in the beginning of the year 29-28, and everybody said the but. But Baron Morton didn't play. But he wouldn't play, and you wouldn't have, you know, you would have given up a ton more points. Mm-hmm. They held them to one less point. The same amount of points. Excuse me. Their offense just came up a little short. Eastland only scored 28 points against Holiday. That's a little weird to me.
Well, if Holiday has the safe, Gunner's going to crack it, then, right?
You know Gunner's watching both game films, even the one with Baron Morton didn't play, to see what it is that Holiday did. I just think at the end of the day, you know, Baron Morton could, as we talked about Jonathan Brooks, Baron Morton could very well pick this team up and throw them to a state championship.
Sure, sure.
He is that good, folks. But I just think Gunner's just a little bit more complete. I think they're a little bit more sound fundamentally. I think they're a little bit more sound defensively. At times this year, Eastland's defense has just been absolutely atrocious. They have gotten better, but we're talking about a defense that has only held teams to under 20 one time, and that was 19 points. So they give up points. And, yes, some of those games they give up points in blowouts, but they've given up points in all types of games. I just don't think that they can do that against Gunner. I think Gunner is going to play keep away. I think you're going to see Baron Morton maybe throw four touchdowns, but maybe have two interceptions, mm-hmm. and Gunter just wear down Eastland's defense. I think it'll be high scoring for both teams, but I just think Gunner's too much.
Yeah, I do too.
All right, let's see what Coach X has to say.
I wonder who he's picking.
Oh, this is so fun. I had a dream that the Emperor told me you – Oh, hang on. Let me start this over because his language is not always good. I had a dream that the Emperor told me your hate makes you strong, and I said Gunner, and he said good, good. Let the hate flow through you. Then I thought, man, you know how cool it would be to work at Eastland? The Mavericks. I would just walk around saying, Tower, this is Ghost Rider requesting a flyby. Or like if our running back went like 80 yards for a touchdown, I would instantly say, I feel the need for speed. Ow! And if I was the quarterback coach, then when my quarterback came to the sideline, I would say, what do you see out there? Talk to me, Goose. That would be awesome. He's talking about Top Gun for anybody that's too young to know. And if he threw a pick or something, I would say, pull a stunt like that and you'll be flying a cargo plane full of rubber dog shit out of Hong Kong. So I say to you, Baron Morton, do an inverted dive with a MiG-28 and come over to the dark side and whip the Tigers.
Wow.
Go Mavs. He cannot do it, folks. I will say this. He promised us he would never pick against Gunter. He has held true to that one.
Pick with Gunter, you mean?
I said pick against Gunter, didn't I? I'm sorry, you're right. I'm sorry, my bad. He would never pick
Long
with
night. It's been 30 minutes.
It's been 30 minutes, says the guy with a 44-ounce cup of coffee.
Is that 44 ounces?
Yeah, by the way, Grant's not drinking energy drinks right now. He's just drinking coffee. I think it makes him worse.
Yeah.
Let's go to what, in my opinion, is the most tasty, the most delicious, because I'm from the area, Wascom 11-1 versus Elysian Fields 11-2. This game is Friday 7:30 at Longview's Lobo Stadium. You want to talk about taking a rivalry that is already vicious and full of hate and also full of people related to each other. It's really weird. this rivalry now is in the playoffs. First time that that's happened. Holy crap, this is going to be fun.
Yeah, we were at the first matchup, right? Elysian Fields took down Wascom, what, 28-21?
Yes.
Both teams are pretty impressive during that game. Wascom had to play the second half, I guess it was, without their starting quarterback.
He's still out.
Yeah, he's still out. That took some adjustment for Wascom. I noticed the backup when he came in. He was having trouble handling the snap in the third quarter. I think that cost Wascom a little bit. Tashawn Hamilton at running back had a great game, though. He's been just money all year.
But he's been beat up, too.
Yeah, oh, yeah, he has. He has been beat up all year. Got to look at this Wascom defense. They're only giving up about 13 points a game.
21 to Elysian Fields, or 28 to Elysian Fields in the last one.
Right.
I said this last time when they played, and I just was being honest, I felt Elysian Fields wanted it more. Mm-hmm. It just felt like, and you could tell, Elysian Fields hadn't won this game in a while. And when that happens, you eventually reach that game where all the trying and all the effort and putting that game as the number one focus actually pays off. Mm-hmm. It paid off for them. But now, you've given everything over to Wascom. Now Wascom has that. Now Wascom is mad. Now Wascom not only wants to beat you because that gets them into the semifinals, but you kind of, if you win the second game, everybody always kind of forgets the first game.
Yeah.
This is as tasty as you can get at this deep into the playoffs.
Yeah.
You cannot get a better rivalry at this point of the playoffs, and I am just absolutely excited. I cannot wait to see how this game plays.
I'm looking forward to seeing how this Wascom defense that's been so solid all year, how they're going to match up once again against Ryan Wilkerson.
Because at times he gutted them.
Yeah, well, and Kyle Story and William Goodnight had really good games
yes.
as well. Braden Manning and Jackson Illingsworth had big games. You know, Wascom's going to have to shut down one or two of the big four for Elysian Fields.
Maybe two of them, Grant. Maybe
yeah.
two of them.
Yeah, I don't think they can let Ryan Wilkerson just get loose on him.
And do you not think he might be the catalyst? Because I know Elysian Fields' running game is great, but Ryan Wilkerson, against Wascom, there were times where he would be third and eight and he would find a way to get the ball down the
field. Yeah, you cannot give him time.
No,
right?
You've got to get in his face. And if you can get into his face and you get him throwing off rhythm, that will help you even if their running game is having success, but they're afraid to throw. That's how Wascom can beat Elysian Fields.
So who do you like?
I want to actually wait till Coach X and you pick. I don't know on this one.
I'm going Wascom winning the rematch here.
I am too.
I like him. Wascom, it's going to be under a touchdown. I think this is an instant classic. So give me Wascom in the rematch, 4 or 5 points, maybe something like that. I wouldn't be surprised if it came down to 1 point.
I think this game is as good, if not better, than the first game. Mm-hmm. I think this game is just like Paul Puitt Dangerfield last year. Remember that crazy
yeah.
one?
Oh, yeah.
I think this is a higher scoring game. I think both teams are going to be a little bit, I know it's crazy to say, more relaxed.
And Wascom's coming off a huge emotional win over Dangerfield.
Two weeks ago, yeah. And then last week they throttled Wes Grusk, who a lot of people were trying to say, hey, Wes Grusk, they could be the surprise team. I just think Wascom's rolling. And it's not like Elysian Fields is not rolling. I'm not saying that. We've got to pick one or the other. And I'm telling you right now, no matter which way I pick, I don't feel comfortable with the pick.
I don't either.
Because we're not really talking about that win against Paul Puitt last week for Elysian Fields. I mean, Paul Puitt did come into the game as the hottest team in the region, and a lot that became a lot of people's glitzy pick to be like, hey, I'm gonna take Paul Puitt over Elysian Fields,
right?
And there for a freaking while it looked like they were smart, as Paul Puitt was dominating Elysian Fields. And boy, when Elysian Fields flipped it on, it was just like magic. It literally was movie magic to come back. I think it was 43-17 or something like that, and for them to come back a Hail Mary, they were missing all their 2-point conversions, yet they still get the win. Let's see what Coach Jack has to say.
All right.
I saw that this is the first time in the history of this heated rivalry that the two schools are meeting in the playoffs. 80 times they have played first time in the playoffs. How crazy is that? I guess it had to do with Wascom not making the playoffs for 21 years until Whitney Keeling took over for Wascom. I also saw, since Whitney Keeling has been at Wascom, they have made the playoffs 7 times and played for region finals 5 times. That's pretty darn good, Coach Keeling. God, does he want a job with the dude or something? God, quit kissing his butt. Remember all the hatred I just spoke of in the Gunner write-up? Dude, come watch this game and you will see some big-time hate. Usually over... usually over the one thing that is truly undefeated in this world, and I know you guys know what that is. I'm riding with Wildcats in this one. Give me Wascom.
All right. Like so that. Now you are
I'm going Wascom.
All right. Okay.
I
would hope. I was hoping we would split that.
I'm going so to split it, actually. I'm going Leisure Fields.
All right. That way
I just can't do it. I just can't do it. I'm going back to the Columbus thing, but I feel a lot better than this one. I predicted Leisure Fields in August that they would win the region. Did I not?
I think we both did.
Yes, you did too, but I'm just saying.
Yeah.
That was one of my big ones, and I took a little flack on Smokey for that. Well, how can you be Leisure Fields? They always underperform. And I said, nope, this year they won't, and I'm going to say it. They're going to end up winning this game. It's going to be an absolute battle, though, folks. If you're going, enjoy. If you're watching it online, you're going to see a bloodbath in the best way. All right, let's go to the final. God, it's already hard to believe we're at the final game of the night. Region 4, Franklin 10-2 versus Buffalo 12-1. This game's Friday at Waco ISD Stadium. Great stadium, Nazi attendance. But what do you think about this game?
Two offenses that can score in bunches, right? Both different ways. But they can both score a lot of points.
And they scored a lot of points the last time they played, with Franklin scoring most of them. It was 69-38. Just to throw that out there for people, again, this is a rematch game.
Yeah, 38's a lot of points against that Franklin defense.
I don't know when it was, though. I kind of think, if I remember correctly, I think Franklin jumped on them pretty big, didn't they?
I can't remember. I don't know. I do know this. If Buffalo had Franklin's defense, they would be darn tough to beat. Look, Brett Hoffman, a quarterback for Buffalo, dual threat quarterback. Got to remember, he had about 3,000 yards passing in the regular season and 1,100 yards rushing in the regular season. So Hoffman is he's a handful, and he's going to be a little bit of a handful for this Franklin defense, no doubt. They got a really good running back / wide receiver in Eric Brashears, Jordan Rogers at receiver. Buffalo defense does give up about 25 points a game or so, and Franklin, they lick their chops on defenses like that. That's not a bad defensive average. I think it's an average, right?
Yeah, they're an okay defense.
Yeah, but Franklin feasts on okay defenses.
Exactly.
Bryson Washington at running back, fullback Bobby Washington, Malcolm Murphy at running back. I'll tell you, one of the scariest two players on this Franklin team, though, are two linebackers in Seth Spiller and Hayes Thompson. I mean, they are just world beaters at linebacker.
When you look at what Buffalo has done through the playoffs, do you think, man, they've had to dodge a bunch of close ones, and that makes them better? Because let's remember, Rice Consolidated was about 30 seconds from pulling off a big upset in round one, mm-hmm. and they ended up not being able to convert. Buffalo got the ball. They scored with like 6 seconds left to win 34-27. Then they have a shootout with George West and end up outlasting them 52-35. And then last week in the rematch against Rogers, yeah, that's, by the way, 13-3A Division II. That's how good this district was.
Yeah.
Everybody beat everybody in the playoffs.
Right.
They beat Rogers 37-35. Does that make you go, man, they know how to win when it's tough? Or, again, go back to, man, their defense gives up a lot of points?
I think a lot of it – well, it's both. I think they have the offense to win the tough ones because they're giving up points that make it tough.
But
right?
aren't you playing the odds when you have to keep relying
yep.
on that? Eventually that catches up to you. Or sometimes it doesn't.
Sealand passes?
Yeah, Sealand passes, exactly.
Which Land passes had a really good defense. So maybe that's not the right correlation
but it is. It is. The point is that they had started to – they were, at least in that game against Miller, they were relying only on their offense.
Right.
And normally that catches up. Again, though, as we talked about in the region with Eastland, you can have a quarterback get hot and throw your way to a state championship.
Yeah.
I just think you do that when you don't have Franklin in front of you.
Right.
Because Franklin, A, knows this Buffalo team. They know what they're going to do. They handled them with – ease October 23rd. I don't see that changing. I think it's a closer game. I don't think it's a 30-point blowout, but I think it's the same thing applies. I just don't think Buffalo is going to be able to stop Franklin, and Franklin will be able to just kill so much time on the clock.
Yeah, well, I just think they'll eat up that Buffalo Bison defense up on the ground. So, yeah, give me Franklin in this one by two touchdowns or so.
Eat a Buffalo Bison like we'd eat a Bison burger. By the way, congratulations on Buffalo.
You're welcome.
Congratulations on Buffalo on a great season. You know, we kind of gave them a hard time over the last few years because of who they played. But two of the last three seasons, they've at least went 13 games into the year. Mm-hmm. And this year they're making it to 14, which I think this is the furthest they've ever been. So congratulations on the Bison. I feel like I'm giving you an obituary because, again, I picked Franklin. All right, let's see what Coach X says to say. Some folks call it a jungle cat. I call it a lion. Has a lion ever eaten a buffalo? Like, has a lion ever seen a buffalo? Are they indigenous to Africa? Or has a lion that was in America seen a buffalo?
Somewhere in a zoo, there has been the lion cage.
I think that's where he's going.
The buffalo.
I think that's where he's going.
Okay.
Or has a lion that was in America seen a buffalo at an animal preserve?
Oh.
If they had or hadn't, that buffalo is dead. Have you ever seen a lion hunt? Poetry in motion. You know, I saw that quite a bit and have no idea what it really means. Give me Franklin. So sling that blades all pulls it off.
Okay.
Man, he just kind of left the show on.
I know what he's referring to there.
I know.
Although he's not there anymore. So. All right.
Anyway, that's going to do it. Man, it feels like a quick show, but it's about our normal time. I want to remind everybody you can follow us on Twitter at Grant and Terry. You can like us on Facebook, Sideline to Sideline. You can email us, Grant and Terry at LoneStarGridiron.com. Want to thank our title sponsor, L4FR Clothing. Check them out online at L4FRClothing.com for all your fire-resistant needs. Man, we're halfway through the playoffs, but it gets really quick from here. Because after this week, we're into the semifinals, and then boom, the state championship. Everybody be safe if you're going to watch it. Or if you're watching at home, just enjoy the football. Whether your team wins or loses, at least we got to play this year. Until next week, he's Grant Goodwin. I'm Terry Bennett. This has been Sideline to Sideline, the 3A edition, brought to you by L4FR Clothing, right here on the LSG Sports Network. I'm hoping for Riley, I can see my baby tonight.